Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on Wednesday, the 21st of March, the year 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll find out the good news about healthcare in America with tonight's Juneau World Affairs Council Speaker, T.R. Reid. Alfreda Nord will be here to highlight Saturday's Scandinavian Culture Fair. Learn about this weekend's Sports and Recreation Show with guest Peter Metcalf. Also learn about this Sunday's film on doulas, and we'll find out what's happening up at Eagle Crest this time of year. Ed Wright is Almanac Music More today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight looks like clear skies, mostly clear anyway. Low temperatures around 23 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, partly cloudy skies with high temperatures around 38 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. John Graham, a Canadian man, has appealed his 2010 conviction for felony murder in the death of Annie Mae Aquash. Her body was found in 1976 on the edge of the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. The prosecutor alleges Graham and two others drove Aquash from Denver, Colorado to Rapid City in 1975 to face American Indian Movement suspicions that she was an informant. Lawyers for Graham and for the state argued before the South Dakota Supreme Court this week. Victoria Wicks has more.
Defense attorney John Murphy says Graham isn't culpable of felony murder if his actions were not a continuous chain of events leading to the victim's death. And he says the state's own witnesses testified to a causal break.
Every witness who testified said that Graham had contact with her late November, and he was back in Denver in 2 to 3 days. We know Aquash was seen alive in Rapid City in the middle of December. That was uncontroverted.
That timeline has been established by the testimony of a woman who says she saw Aquash at the Wounded Knee Legal Defense Office, or WICLDOC. John Murphy explains.
She could identify with certainty that she saw Aquash at the WICLDOC offices during the Dick Wilson trial, and that trial began on December 12th and ended December 18th. So we know she was alive then.
But Attorney General Marty Jackley says only one witness set timelines that indicate a causal break, and that witness's memory is unreliable.
She testified that it was the first part of December. She then testified it could have been December 11th and 12th, because she could have been there for pretrial matters. And then at one point she said, it's just hard to remember. It's 35 years ago in relation to the time frame.
The state Supreme Court will consider these and other issues, including whether hearsay testimony involving Leonard Peltier's alleged threats and confession to Aquash prejudiced the jury by linking John Graham to AIM hierarchy. They'll also consider whether Arlo Looking Cloud's testimony was driven by a motive to fabricate evidence. Looking Cloud is in prison for his role in Aquash's death. After he testified at Graham's trial, his life sentence was reduced to 20 years. Theda Clark was never charged for her role. She died in October at the age of 87. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
The Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians is considering a constitutional amendment to recognize same-sex marriage. Local news organizations report the tribe would be the first in Michigan to legalize gay marriage if the amendment is adopted. At least one partner would have to be a tribal member. Two tribal members wrote a letter to the tribal council urging for the consideration. The proposal is in a public comment period. The tribal constitution defines marriage as between one man and one woman. Tennessee state lawmakers consider a bill to establish standards for state recognition of Native American Indian tribes. Three groups are seeking state status and cite funding and economic development projects as benefits of gaining the status. Out-of-state tribes are among those opposing their recognition. The bill was discussed Tuesday in a House committee. During this month in 1617, Pocahontas was buried in England after dying from an unknown illness. She was the daughter of Powhatan, the leader of tribes in present-day Virginia. She was about 10 years old when English captive John Smith was brought to her father. Stories and opinions differ on whether she actually saved Smith from execution and became his lover. Pocahontas later married English tobacco planter John Rolfe and took the name Rebecca. In 2006, a delegation of Virginia Indians visited her gravesite in England and honored her as one of their ancestors who faced difficult decisions and did best for her people. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use PIC, CLIC, GIVE when filing online for your PFD. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our first guest is T.R. Reid and also Jim Clark from the Juneau World Affairs Council. T.R. Reid will be speaking tonight at the University of Alaska Southeast at 5 p.m. as part of the Juneau World Affairs Council series of speeches. Jim and T.R., thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Delighted.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And we, of course, are delighted tonight to have T.R. Reid come speak to us again. He was here last year and spoke to us about healthcare globally. Tonight, he'll be speaking about the movie and he's made in the United States. So everyone knows, the Juneau World Affairs Council is a nonprofit, and admission is free. We'll be at the University of Alaska Southeast Library tonight, and we're hoping everybody will be there at 5 o'clock to hear TR's speech.
And I'll be talking about the movie. The movie itself will be seen on Alaska One this next Tuesday, the 27th at 8 p.m., and also next Wednesday overnight at 2 a.m. T.R., you're a former Washington Post reporter. You've written 9 books in English and 3 in Japanese. Your 2009 book, The Healing of America, became a bestseller and gave you a new job description.
Yeah, that's right. What happened was I was a reporter. I was working in the newsroom. The editor was about 15 feet away. And I hit on this brilliant idea, move overseas and be a foreign correspondent and never live within 13 hours of the editor. That was really, that's a good career plan. It worked for me. And so I became a foreign correspondent, worked overseas. They left me alone. They never called me. And but the result was my family of Americans was using the healthcare systems in these different countries. And we began to see that these were really good healthcare systems. We got great care. We didn't wait very long. And the prices were much lower. And the more I looked into it, I realized that all the other countries like us, I mean rich industrialized democracies, provide health care for everybody, and on average they spend half as much as we do. So I just got interested in how do you do that, and I wrote this book, The Healing of America, and made a couple of movies about it and about health care in other countries. Hey, they're doing great kind of thing. And I came home and people started saying, you know, there's very good health care at reasonable cost all over the United States. And I said, no, it's not right. I wrote a whole book saying that's not true. But in fact, it's true. And that's what our new movie is about. That's why we called it U.S. Healthcare, the Good News. There are places providing really high quality care at way below the average cost.
Could we ever achieve affordable health care for everyone in the United States, and how?
There's no question we could. We're spending enough now to cover everybody, but we leave 50 million people uninsured. There are a lot of ways to do it. What we see in our movie is, this is really kind of amazing to me. What do you think, Jeff, when you think of a doctor? I think of a guy with a garage full of Lexuses, flies off to his private island kind of thing. We found doctors in places here and there all over America who are trying to cut costs. They're trying to reduce their income because they feel an obligation to the community to provide decent health care at reasonable cost. I didn't know that existed, but that's this kind of striking thing we found in this movie all over East Coast, West Coast, rural towns, big towns. We would find doctors who say, doggone it, I cost too much. I've got to get my cost down to serve my community.
How come that feeling doesn't spread around the country?
I wish it did. I think the point of our movie is the people who pay for health care, that's like big employers, insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, they should insist that everybody be as efficient as the places we saw in this movie. There's no reason they can't be. And I'm certain it could spread. I think one message of our new film is we don't have to wait for Washington to make rules, because in Seattle, in Minnesota at the Mayo Clinic, in New Hampshire, in Colorado, we found places that are already cutting costs on local initiative.
Is it better health care or is it just more affordable?
It's just as good health care as any place else. You know, the thing is, in America, if you have good insurance or good money, you're going to get great health care in our country. The problem is all the people that we leave outside the door. There are 50 million Americans without health insurance. And one way to get them covered is to get the cost down for everybody, and then we'll have more money to cover the uninsured. So, no, there's no sacrifice in quality in these towns we went to that are providing care. In fact, in many cases, their outcomes are better than the really high-cost communities.
What can be done to overcome the challenges facing rural areas when it comes to providing good quality, affordable health care?
Well, you know, if it's a rural area of Juneau, what are you, 30,000 in this town? Is that right?
30,000 here.
Yeah. That's as beautiful as this and has a lifestyle like Alaska, I think you're doing okay at attracting doctors. Is that right? But there are a lot of places, including Alaska, places in Alaska that can't get a doctor. One way to do it is most American doctors graduate from medical school with a big debt, $180,000, $200,000. And a lot of states are saying, if you'll work in a rural community and practice family medicine, we'll pay your debt for you. We'll forgive the debt. And that's a good lure. That's a good attraction to get docs to live there, to work there. Another method that has worked where I live in Colorado is if you take a person applying to medical school who grew up in a rural community, you know, in Sitka or in La Junta, Colorado, they're more likely to go back to the rural community to practice when they graduate.
What's the next step?
Well, the first and most important step for our country is commit to cover everybody. When I went around the world, that's the one thing I noticed. All those countries cover everybody, and they spend less. And we've never made that commitment. This, according to the Census Bureau, January this year, 49.9 million Americans don't have insurance. They get treated. If they get sick enough to get to the emergency room, they'll get treatment. But it's too late then in many cases, and it's very expensive. So let's set up a system that provides coverage for everybody in the country that would improve health results. It would also cut costs.
And you got to get politics involved as well.
Yeah, you got to do it politically. And President Obama ran for election on a promise of covering everybody, and the politics turned out to be too hard. His bill, it will expand coverage. It'll get more people covered. But even if it works perfectly, it'll leave about 25 million Americans without health insurance. So we're not there yet. We need to make that commitment that all the other countries like us have made, cover everybody.
I'm talking with T.R. Reid from the Juneau World Affairs Council guest speaker tonight. 5 o'clock, he'll be speaking at the U.S. Library about the PBS film, U.S. Healthcare, the Good News. You want to tell me about the making of the film, please?
Yeah, well, we got into this film because there's some scholars at Dartmouth College who began studying billing records. Medicare billing records are public. They black out the patient's name, but the diagnosis, the treatment, and the cost, those are all public records. And they looked at hundreds of millions of them. Does that sound boring or what? As a matter of fact, it turned out to be very interesting because they found huge variation in healthcare. The same ailment, say, as sprained ankle or an inflamed appendix, same age patient, same ailment. Some communities cost 3 times as much to treat the same ailment as other places. And guess what? The low-cost places had just as good results. So we went around the country to look at this variation, but the good news is we found so many low-cost places, you only get an hour on PBS, that we devoted the whole film to these good places. And it's only at the very end I say, why don't you find out how your community's doing? Why isn't it as efficient as these places we've been to?
You've covered a variety of topics from Congress to royal weddings. Is there any thread that ties your stories together?
One thing that I've spent a lot of time on and several books on is what our country can learn from other countries. You know, I wrote a book about the fact that if you go to East Asia, Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, those countries have very, very low crime rates, 1/100th the murder rate of the U.S., no divorce, no broken homes. And I wrote a book about how do you do that? How do you get those good social statistics? Then I wrote a book about, well, I wrote this book about how other countries manage to provide health care for everybody. And I'll tell you, Jeff, you write books like that saying we could learn from other countries. A lot of Americans don't like it. What do you mean? France does something better than we do? They don't want to hear that. And I get a lot of that. You know, you hate our country. How come you're saying we're no good? It's a great country. We're best in the world at many things, but we're not that good at healthcare, and my argument has been, as in many areas, we could learn from these other countries if we were willing to be open-minded and look.
T.R. Reid will be speaking tonight at 5 o'clock at the University of Alaska Southeast in a talk brought to you by the Juneau World Affairs Council. The film itself, U.S. Healthcare, The Good News, will be shown on Alaska One Tuesday, the 27th of this month at 8 p.m., and next Wednesday overnight at 2 a.m. T.R., thank you very much for coming down to the station. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, you're doing great, Jeff. Thanks for putting me on your air.
And here's the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 21st of March, 2012. It was on this day, 1963, the infamous federal penitentiary Alcatraz was closed in the middle of San Francisco Bay. It was simply too expensive. It was the most expensive of any state or federal prison. Now it's part of the National Park Service. Still many of its gardens are preserved, including 15 species of roses, and about 500 people visit it every day. It's the birthday of the poet Nizar Kabani, born in Damascus, Syria, 1923, popular Arab poet, author of more than 20 books. His poetry, influenced by the suicide of his older sister when he was 15, she killed herself rather than be forced into marriage with a man she did not love. He wrote romantic, sensual poems and poetry about the need for sexual equality and women's rights. Many years later, 1981, his second wife, an Iraqi woman, died during the Lebanese Civil War when the Iraqi embassy was bombed. He was grief-stricken, frustrated with the political climate of the Arab world, and he lived in Europe for the rest of his life. It was on this day, 1965, thousands of marchers led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. left Selma, Alabama, headed to Montgomery, the state capital, to protest the disenfranchisement of black voters. And it's the birthday of Johann Sebastian Bach in Eisenach, Germany, 1685, a church organist about whom a church council once complained, "You now accompany the hymns with surprising variations and irrelevant ornaments, which obliterate the melody and confuse the congregation." Here's a poem for today by Michael Ryan, entitled Garbage Truck. Once I had two strong young men hanging off my butt and a distinctive stink that announced when I was inching down your street at the regal elephantine pace that let my men step down from me running to heave your garbage into my gut, then fling the clanging metal cans to tumble and rumble, crash and leap back to sort of where you'd lugged them to the curb before another oblivious night of sleep. Did you think life was tough? I reveled in it. All the stuff you threw out, used up, let rot, the pretty packaging, the scum, the snot, vomit and filth, everything you thought useless, dangerous, or repugnant, I ate it for breakfast. I hauled it out of sight. And what did I get? You were annoyed by my noise. You coughed at my exhaust. Your kids stopped playing in the street to pinch their noses and gag theatrically, with no clue how sick they'd be without me. I was the lowest of the low and untouchable. Yet I did what I did and did it well. Now I am not laughable, a waste management vehicle, denatured, robotic, sanitized, presentable. My strong young men are gone. I have no smell. I'm painted deep green to look organic and clean. Your residential trash carts are matching green, injection-molded high-density polyethylene that barely thuds when I lower them to the ground after I've stabbed and lifted and upended them with twin prongs that retract into my side so not to scratch anything or scare anyone. Who can complain? Right there on your street, I mash and compact and obliterate your waste. You need never give it a second thought. It's safe, it's easy, nobody gets dirty. It's how you want your life to be. But life's not garbage. Garbage is life. Look what you've got. Look what you throw out. Garbage Truck, poem by Michael Ryan, from his collection This Morning, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:20 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest, Elfrida Nord from the Sons of Norway, here to talk about this Saturday's Scandinavian Cultural Fair from 2:30 to 5 p.m. at the Juneau Yacht Club. Elfrida, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about the Sons of Norway, if you could, please.
Well, Sons of Norway has a program, the National International has a program called the Cultural Skills Program, where there's 14 different units that one can participate in or do. And so we are promoting it and hope that we will demonstrate and people can come and do some hands-on stuff and see what it's all about.
You got a variety of activities, including some food and some rose mauling. And
there will be rose mauling, and you'll have a chance to try the strokes or actually paint a small object. There will be food. You can make your own kromkaka, if you know what that is.
Describe it, please.
It's like a cookie that you bake in a kind of an iron, a little bit like a waffle iron, only it's flat. And you roll it up into a cone, and then you fill it with whipped cream and strawberries, and or eat it plain.
And did you bring somebody to the station today with you?
Did I?
You bring any today?
No. Sorry. Didn't have time.
And also, there's also going to be some live music, isn't there?
There will be live music. Dale Wygant will come and play, and when he's not playing, we will have other kinds of music as well. And if there's somebody that comes that can do the Scandinavian dances, we will demonstrate some dances.
Is there a cost?
There will be genealogy. We will have a computer there with online capacity, so you can come look up a Norwegian ancestor or two.
Do you have to be Scandinavian to attend?
You do not have to be Scandinavian to attend. You can come and learn, and of course you can always become a member when you're there if you choose to. We will have membership blanks there. To participate in the units with the international, you have to be a member. But that doesn't mean that you can't do it just for fun.
It seemed like when I was looking at the press release, there's about 15 or 20 different activities involved.
Yes. But I think it's 14.
That's pretty close.
Yep, that's close.
And so what's happening is, and it's free.
It's free, and there will be refreshments. Like I said, there'll be music all the time, and there will be a play area for small children, and there will be activities and games for them. There will be, they can color or cut and paste and one thing another. That will be for all ages of children.
All right, I've been talking with Elfrida Nord from the Sons of Norway about the Scandinavian Cultural Fair going on this Saturday from 2:30 until 5 p.m. at the Juneau Yacht Club. It's absolutely free. Go there and learn something about the world that you live in. Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
No, I just said it's from 2:30 to 5, and it's free. And do come. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Dale Weigand from his CD, Dale Weigand Plays Scandinavian. Time is 3:26 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guests are Peter Metcalf and Luke Metcalf here to talk about this weekend's Southeast Alaska Sports and Recreation Show. Peter and Luke, thank you very much for coming by the station today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
So tell me about the event. It's it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
That's right. We open at noon on Friday and continue till 6 p.m. and then Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The admission price is $5, but we'll give you a ticket that's good for the weekend. Children under 12 are free.
Seems like this is a replacement for the boat show.
It is. It's a successor. But, the Rotary Club, the Glacier Valley Rotary Club, had done the boat show for about 30 years. And, the whole boating industry is consolidated and fewer vendors for that type of show. So our idea is to do something much more expansive. We do have boats, but Luke, why don't you describe some of the other things?
Yeah, well, we will have one boat vendor there. And
actually two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was misinformed there. Sorry about that.
No arguments in the control room here.
Oh, yeah, no arguments here. I'm just agreeing. We also have everything from, Cycle Alaska is going to be there to represent the cycling community here. We have quite a few people that are going to be selling fly fishing goods. Alaska survival products. We also are going to have the rock dumps going to be represented. So you can find out about things all the way from fishing to cycling to climbing. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is going to have a couple booths so you can learn about what boating safety and going out there safely.
Sport fishing information. But one of the things also is we're going to have seminars happening all throughout the event. We have two rooms set aside for seminars, so we'll have very often concurrent seminars happening at the same time, everything from wildlife photography to physical fitness. Pabot Center will be there. The Cycle Alaska, Luke here is a certified bicycle mechanic, and he's going to join in that presentation, I believe.
Yeah, we're going to give a nice little seminar about choosing the correct bicycle for you and then some helpful tips to maintain your bicycle because, it's nowadays bicycles are expensive and they're quite an investment. And so you be nice to learn a few things preventative maintenance-wise.
And then Juneau Gymnastics will be presenting at the Sports and Recreation Show as well, but they'll be doing a seminar as well. Team Chaos, the soccer team. So we have organized sports, the usual outdoor hunting, fishing type, boating, and then government agency and local nonprofit groups, including the Juneau Parks and Rec, will be there. So
is this going to be like the public market where it takes open the entire Centennial Hall?
That's right. It's modeled on the public market as we've been doing that since 1983, and a couple of my vendors who sell outdoor products were encouraging me last November to do this show. And when the Rotary Club decided to discontinue the boat show, Luke and I and my wife Sandy got together and kind of mapped out this program.
Is it for the ultra sports enthusiast?
It's for, everybody, families, anybody who gets out and enjoys the outdoors for the most part. But, one of the light bulb moments in this was when I was talking to Dave Lindrum, who has Landscape Alaska, and he has a, he was putting in an apple tree in our front yard, and I was explaining this program, and he said, or explaining the show to David, and he said, well, you know, gardening is the number one outdoor recreational activity in the United States. So David's going to be there as well as glacier landscapes, and so we'll have a gardening component. In answer to your question, it's not all about, you know, after sports.
How many vendors do you have about?
We have over 62, I think, right now, but people have been signing up in the last few days, so we're kind of losing count.
And that's at the public market. If you wish to make a purchase, some take credit cards and some don't, so bring a checkbook or cash.
Checkbook or cash. Excuse me. A number of vendors will be selling items, and they have credit card equipment. So,
but it's not a bad idea to bring a checkbook or cash.
Yeah.
About how long are the seminars? Are they an hour long?
Yeah, they're in 1 hour blocks.
Is there a place on the internet to find out more information about the seminar listings?
Go to my Facebook page would be the best. The best is Alaska Sports and Rec. We have, but you could also go to AlaskaSportsandRec.com, which is the website.
And Peter Metcalf talking and Luke Metcalf talking about the Southeast Alaska Sports and Recreation Show going on this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. One more time, the hours and the cost?
The hours are, it opens at noon Friday at Centennial Hall until 6 p.m., and then Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. $5 admission will get you in through the weekend.
Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
There's the seminar list if you're interested in attending a seminar. It is on the Facebook page or the website. The Facebook page is under Southeast Sports and Recreation Show. You can look that up quite easily. Or what's the actual website?
The AlaskaSportsAndRec.com.
So if you're interested in the seminars, they have the time and the place and also a list of all the vendors that will be there.
Luke and Peter, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
I can make the leaves and make a pile. study every day. Get plenty of sleep, too. Everyone makes more money.
Nancy Fink and Marcy Marks here. The time is 3:35, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guests are Jen Lane Brady, president of ICANN, and also Jesse Higdon here to talk about a film which is showing Sunday at the Silver Bow, all about doulas. Jen Lane and Jesse, thank you very much for being in the station with me today.
Thank you for having us.
So tell me, first of all, a little bit about ICANN.
So ICANN is, their mission statement is to improve maternal child health by preventing unnecessary cesareans through education, which is what we're doing with this film Doula, and providing support for cesarean recovery and promoting vaginal birth after cesarean, VBACs.
So what is a doula, and what country does it come from?
A doula is a term, it's actually a Grecian term that has come to mean in our culture a woman who helps other women through labor and birth and the postpartum period after. And so a doula, what I do, I am a birth doula here in town, and I attend a woman continuously through her labor from the beginning all the way through her birth, and then I help her in the postpartum period as well. And some of the things that I do are I offer emotional reassurance to women, let them process their fears, and I talk to them, I get to know them and their partner prenatally, and we work together to ensure that her birth can be as calm and as safe as she desires. And then I also do physical comfort, so I can give massage to a woman in labor. I can help her find a position that is comfortable for her to labor and birth in, and I also am an informational support, so I'm well-versed in childbirth. I'm not a medical provider, but I know a lot about childbirth and have been to many childbirth experiences, and I bring that so that when a woman has questions about a procedure or questions about her care or wants to know more information, I can help guide her and help her to find that information or to ask her provider for clarification. So basically what a doula does is to be with a woman and to help her to have the best birth experience she can.
What makes them different than a midwife?
That I'm not a medical provider, and so I'm not there to monitor how the labor is going in terms of how long your contractions are or what the baby's heart rate is. Those aren't things that I'm taking care of. I'm making sure that mom is emotionally in a safe place, that she's physically feeling good, and that she has all that she wants to know, and that her partner feels comfortable as well. I do a lot of partner support. So I'm not in charge of anything medically. I'm just there for the mom.
How long is the training process?
A typical birth doula training is actually 4 days long. It's an intensive 4-day training. And then after that, it's really hands-on. It's going and attending births, learning from other doulas, and just learning from each birth that that you go to. Even after almost 3 years, I'm still learning, always learning from every birth.
How many births have you attended?
I've attended about 30 at this point, and I attend births at the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center at home, and I also attend birth at Bartlett Regional Hospital.
It must be a magical experience that you get to relive 30 more times.
I hope so, yeah, absolutely.
So you're talking about the film Doula, which is going to be shown this Sunday at the Silver Bow Inn at 5 p.m. Tell me about the film, please.
So Doula, The Ultimate Birth Companion, is a 65-minute, intimate, and emotionally charged documentary about doulas and their part in pregnancy, birth, and the first few weeks after baby is born.
And give me a little bit more description, please.
Well, so it's a documentary that follows the stories of three women in their birth experiences and three different doulas and how that doula has supported them. So you actually see a doula doing her work, and you see a mom in labor, and you see the birth, and you see what that doula does and what her role is. A lot of people don't know what a doula is, and they don't know why a doula can be helpful for them. So that was our hope in working together. Jan Lane's idea to bring this film to the community we thought was really great. and the other the doulas in the town are really excited to be able to kind of get that information out there. So one of the things that research shows is that doulas are very effective in reducing the rate of cesarean section for moms. We're effective, just our presence alone can keep a mom from needing or requesting pain medication because she's just feeling comfortable. We also have a research shows that the continuous presence of professional labor support, such as a doula, is effective in not needing any sort of augmentation to your labor, not needing to speed it up with Pitocin or another means. So, and that just the continuous presence of a doula can make a woman reflect on her birth experiences as more positive than if she didn't have a doula there. And so those are all things that we, you know, people don't necessarily recognize the term doula. We want people to know what a doula does, why you might want a doula at your birth or your sister's labor or your daughter's labor. And so you can come and find out and come watch the film and see what it looks like.
About how many doulas are there in Juneau?
Well, three of us work at the birth center. That's myself, Michaela Levy, and Shana Rower. We actually job share, and the birth center funds half of our position, and we're also funded by the Alaska Children's Trust, so they work together to pay our salaries. There are several women in the community who practice privately who are not affiliated with any one entity. So I'd say altogether probably five or six of us meet on a regular basis, and the three of us who work at the birth center regularly take on birthing clients and work and do this work regularly.
This is Juneau Family Health and Birth Center?
And again, that program at the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center is available to any woman, no matter where she's birthing in the community or who her provider is, if she qualifies for our services, they would be free to her. And if a woman doesn't qualify for the program but still would like to have a doula, she can, of course, contact us and we can connect her with someone or we can talk about how she can work with one of us.
The film this Sunday at 5 o'clock at the Silver Bowl, is it free?
It is free.
Sure is.
It's open to the public. Our main target would be pregnant moms, first time, to see what a doula does. But anyone is welcome to come out on Sunday at 5 down at the Silver Bowl.
Anyone who's interested, and especially anybody who might possibly be interested in learning how to be a doula or wants to ask specific questions, I'll be after the show doing questions and answers and maybe saying something, you know, just clarifying anything that came up in the film or anything people would like to know more about. So they can, anybody and everybody is welcome to come.
How long is the film?
65 minutes long.
For all ages or primarily for mothers and dads?
I suppose that would depend if you would like to have your children see birthing scenes. It's not, you know, that would be, I guess, up to the parent.
Is this for men as well as women?
Absolutely. I think for a father or a man who cares about a pregnant woman to be able to understand how he can support her and what a doula does and to be thinking about birth is a wonderful thing, and they would be more than welcome to come. We'd love that.
Right,
the more the merrier.
I've been talking with Jesse Higdon and Jenlaine Brady about the film Doula. It's going to be shown this Sunday at 5 o'clock at the Silver Bowl. Thank you for coming by. Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask. Contact information?
No, but I have a couple of companions who would like to say hello to someone really quick. Is that all right?
Sure.
Would you like to come say hello, you two? I have here Ingrid Higdon and Ames Patterson who would like to say a special hello to someone. You want to? Go ahead. Great.
Hi, Ames.
You can say it if you want. You ready? They might be a little shy. They just wanted to say, hi, Melissa. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Larson and Graham Nash. Time is 3:47. You are tuned in to KTVO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is Matt Lillard from Eagle Crest. Matt, thank you for coming down today.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for having me.
Was it hard coming down from the slopes?
It is. It's a beautiful day up there, Jeff. The sun is out. It's only about 30 degrees. There's very little wind up tops and great packed powder conditions. It's a fantastic week.
How come it's always so fantastic during spring break?
Spring break always seems to be great. Springtime is a great time to be skiing and riding. The weather warms up. The daylight's longer. And it's just been a great time to be out.
And your hours this time of year?
Our hours this time of year are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are running all lifts this week, so come on out and enjoy. We'll be open daily through this coming Monday.
Activities going on?
Yeah, we're wrapping up our holiday week camps tomorrow. We've got a lot of people, young and old, coming up to enjoy those camps, and we'll be skiing and riding all over the mountain over the next couple of days. And have a great weekend. We've got some races coming up this weekend, some other great activities, so come on up and enjoy.
And later on, you're going to be talking about long-range activities.
That's right. We're in the process of kind of mid to three-quarters of the way through the process of designing a new long-range master plan. And next Wednesday, a week from today, March 28th, from 6:30 to 8:30 in Assembly Chambers, we have got a open public comment period on our draft master plan, which if you haven't seen it, I recommend going to check it out. The link is on skijuneau.com. There's a link to the draft master plan. Give it a read. Come on out to the meeting. Tell us what you think. After all, the master plan, a lot of it is gauging what the public wants to see out of Eagle Crest in the next 20 years, so we'd like to get your input.
Can you give me a pen's bird's eye look of it?
Well, right now it's a great draft, I think. It covers a lot of different topics based on what we can do in the summer, winter activities, and a whole slew of different things. So it's definitely worth taking a look.
Any major changes?
No major changes. It's when this master plan comes out, it's going to kind of outline some options and how we can work with new people coming to the area and new ideas and where the public wants to see the area go.
What kind of summer activities are being looked at?
Different summer activities. There's hiking and biking being looked at, possible activities to lure some people off the cruise ships up to the mountain, some revenue-generating opportunities, and then as I mentioned, just a lot of hiking and biking as well.
All right, and again, that meeting is?
That meeting is next Wednesday, March 28th, from 6:30 to 8:30 in Assembly Chambers.
All right. Matt Lillard from Eagle Crest, anything you want to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
That's it. Just the sun appears to be out all week. We might see a little bit of snow on Saturday, but don't let the lack of snow keep you away from Eagle Crest. We have some great packed powder conditions. It is nice and dry. There is no ice up on the mountain, so come on out. Enjoy the sunshine. It's a great time of year to be skiing and riding. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Alaska Broadcasters, the National Weather Service, and Alaska Division of Emergency Management Services will be conducting a test of the tsunami warning system Wednesday, March 28th at approximately 9:45 a.m. You'll hear the test on the radio and see it on local and cable television. This test is part of Tsunami Preparedness Week in Alaska. Go to tsunami.gov/test to report your test reception. This test will be canceled in the event of any significant seismic activity.
Folk Festival is near, and it's time to get in the spirit and polish those dance moves at the Barn Dance. Saturday, March 24th, 7:30 at St. Anne's Parish Hall downtown on 5th and Gold. Odette Edgar will teach and call contra dances to live French, Canadian, and Celtic music by the Bevels and Church, featuring Kathy Fanning, Sally Donaldson, Nene Wolf, Wendy Parker, and John Church. As always, no experience or partners are necessary. Free for Saga, JVs, and under 13. Good music, good dancing, good times at the Barn Dance this Saturday.
Tonight on 360 North, explore the strength and courage of the Inupiat people struggling to preserve their subsistence whaling culture in the Arctic regions of Alaska. Challenged by weather, politics, and oil production, Inupiat whalers remain as resolute as their ice-bound ocean. That's the Eskimo and the Whale at 8 o'clock, and the Miller Center Forum is at 9. Continued Gavel Alaska coverage of our legislature begins at 10, tonight on 360 North.
About 3:58, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also broadcast on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sarsuna at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTUO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTUO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872, and KXLL can be found at 873. We're also online at www.ktuo.org. You can Premiere tonight at 7 o'clock on Friends and Neighbors, highlights from last year's Alaska Folk Festival, produced by volunteer Shelley Owens. Tomorrow at 3 on KTVO News on a Juno afternoon, we'll find out about July's Atlin Arts and Music Festival with guest Kim Winicky. Lauren Brooks will be here at the preview of next weekend's NAEYC conference. Skip the details about next week's Choose Respect Rally in March with guests John Moeller and Sarah Lynn Tabachnik. Kathy Brady will be giving us a preview of Friday's Art of Place lecture and demonstration, and Nancy DeTourney will be giving us the rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. At Writer's Almanac Music and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juno afternoon. The forecast for tonight, partly cloudy skies, low temperatures 18 to 26 degrees, southeast winds to 10 miles per hour becoming northeast in the late evening. Increasing clouds predicted for Thursday with high temperatures around 38 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies with low temperatures 21 to 27 degrees. Friday, mostly cloudy skies with high temperatures around 38 degrees. Saturday looks like cloudy weather with a chance of snow and rain and high temperatures around 39 degrees. Thank you for tuning in to a June afternoon today. Have a good evening. Enjoy the sun.